He's calling.
No, it's not.
I know.
We're ready to start.
Okay.
Meeting up. The recording has started. We can start with roll call. Tucson Parks and Recreation Commission meeting September 4th, 2024. Roll call, Chair Steve Pope.
Here.
Thank you. Vice Chair Becky Quintero.
Here.
Commissioner Manon Getzey.
Here.
Here.
Robin McArdle.
Here.
Commissioner Darren Gregg.
Here.
Thank you. I think we may proceed.
Okay. So can we have approval of the minutes that were corrected? I have a motion.
A motion to approve the minutes from August.
Right.
No, actually it was July.
From the corrected ones?
Yes, the corrected minutes.
Okay. Thank you. Have a second?
I second the corrected minutes.
Thank you. Roll call.
Okay. Chair Steve Pope?
Yes.
Commissioner Manon Getzey?
Yes.
Robin McArdle?
Yes.
And Darren Gregg?
Yes.
Okay. Item passes.
Yes. Okay. Call to the audience. At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the committee. Speakers are limited to 3-minute presentations. Pursuant to Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual committee members may ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the committee may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during call to the audience. Do you have any call to the audience?
Do we have any members that would like to address the commission? And I don't know if I received any previous.
Okay. So moving on to the Los Reales Park Master Plan.
Pick it off and then pass it over to our presenters. So the Los Reales Park is planned park space next to Los Reales Sustainability Campus. That is whoever's presenting. Thank you. This includes the landfill, includes recycling center and composting facility in the kind of that south and western portion of that map that you see on the screen. And the park itself will be in that green area adjacent the current location for the tree center, which is the city's nursery. Joe Barr is our project manager from Parks and Recreation. He's here with our consultants, Eric Barrett and Tim Smith.
Dennis Grubo.
Road
Group. Maybe not, Jim. I got it wrong. So thank you for having us today. Eric, you want to start the presentation? Would you like to go to a different slide?
Sure. Do you want to begin? The site plan on that. And then for the people, is the camera pointed back this direction? Because maybe we have Dennis, you can kind of like be van on this side and I can be van on that side. And that way we're addressing the people that are receiving the camera and so forth. That sound right?
Camera's pointing this way, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can we bring up the master plan concept? Again, my name is Eric Barrett. I'm with ARC Studios, and this is Dennis Roadboots, Matt Smith, and also Joseph, and are a couple people that are part of our team to help put this together. Overall, basically, we've been working on this for about two and a half years plus. It started with just some of the revisiting the master plan or the PAD of the Los Reales Sustainability Campus. And we are brought in to address specifically this linear trail that's along the north here that goes clear over to Swan Road and do that evaluation and develop the plans for that and do that work for that. In addition, this intersection, which currently floods, needs to be raised about between 30 inches and 3 feet. And so what's occurring here is this is being raised to address flooding issues at the intersection and some issues with that and expansion of that. This becoming a detention basin here. So this is kind of becoming kind of a natural grade as we're working out this way. So a lot of this is going to be disturbed. So as we are looking at the master plan, this options, we basically said, what's our best location for the master plan and phase one and different aspects of that. So this being kind of primary area for phase one, or this being primary area for phase one, is what we looked at initially. But as we started working through the project and looking at different pros and cons of it with the grading and site change and utility infrastructure and so forth, we already have a kind of a service route through here. We have phase one of the Tucson Center that's currently exists here. There's a master plan that they show that we incorporated into what that could be look like in this location. So we end up having the retention basins, larger secondary basin, and then as you step up this way, we have a grade change between 25 feet of fall from the east side to the west side, with also about a 15-foot change in grade from this side to this side, with kind of a dip here naturally as it is. So with all that considered, and also with some service utilities running out this direction, natural fence that occur, or a chain link fence that occurs there, and kind of a natural separation between the Los Reyes landfill, phase one kind of looked at this location here. So within that, we went out to the public. We had an open house, and we had an online survey. Items that were noted specifically was definitely more ball fields, more so than more soccer fields or rectangular fields that can support multiple different activities. One surprise was an interest in cricket, which, if you know, no one really knows about, we had to do a little research to figure it all out. But basically, it's about a 450-foot diameter to 500-foot diameter to fully provide a full-size field for that. So in working with the design of what we looked at, this, because of the natural grade changes, this, and just being the size, even at like a 1% slope, we have like 450 feet of, or 450 feet. That's 4.5 feet at 1% cross slope. So this automatically kind of creates a natural depression and basin where we can then actually stage and have different elements. Where this area here is, we're proposing a large playground area, splash pad, ninja course, challenge course type component. To really engage the community from that point. Have good idea of circulation for the perimeter. Other feedback we received recently is we need more ADA accessible locations in close proximity to where we're trying to get to. So if we want to provide ADA parking here or on this side here or even down at the bother end, we provide a better location as opposed to like going from here and then having to walk to 450 feet, which is over a football field long, trying to look at those components. So other things we started looking at was basically how we can integrate basically phase one and then step it to phase two, three, and four, or one and two and three and four, how that can kind of work out. We wanted to provide a large diversity and flexibility within the master plan itself. Other elements we're showing, basically, obviously, pickleball courts with some other amenities with that. Large dog park, over an acre in size. We have like field games or lawn games and activities. We have John DeBlank community garden, some just nice open space for areas for additional expansion. Two more fields each, actually four more fields in total. Basketball courts cover about or possibly about the covered community, and then also like sand volleyball and other amenities with that. So with that, is there questions, comments, thoughts, ideas that you have based on what you think we should be looking to address? Dennis, did I miss anything?
Yeah, several Ramadas spaced throughout for activity use and comfort stations throughout as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Eric, can you talk a little bit about the residential nearby?
Oh, okay.
So yeah. The development next door, et cetera?
So, yeah, back to kind of like the overview of kind of something dictating this. This road, which is Gardenstone Road, has just been completed within the last year. It goes over to a larger subdivision called Blackhawk Development. That road actually does go all the way through the development and it connects to Wilmot Road. Part of their master plan design was actually for the there's a multi-use path that ties in, actually it kind of dead ends right about here, that ultimately we would tie in here, and then ultimately with the master plan of the Los Reales Sustainability Campus, we would extend this down and around, and it goes clear down to various southern parts and goes through the airport wash as part of future development. So overall, we're looking at around 45 acres of potential improvements that could be utilized by the by Central Tucson, which were really limited fields. We really don't have any fields in this area of the city of Tucson.
Questions?
This is always a commission that's interested in the public input process.
Sure.
So where is that?
So we did. We had a meeting at the
Little Town Community Center.
That was actually during some active softball games. And so we actually went reached out to them and had an open house with them. We sent them kind of some initial concepts and ideas, way pulled back from what this is, to say, what are your thoughts, to get that feedback from them. And then we had, at the same time, launched an online survey that basically covered where we found out cricket's a desirable component. We found out flag football actually has a league, and they're very interested in having fields that support that. Those are the two primary verbals that we got back at the national actual meeting, and then we get the additional information about playgrounds, splash pads, so forth. And we look to incorporate all those amenities into this park potentially.
What I anticipate here is that the local users will be the people south of the freeway, whereas when people come for tournaments and games, they're going to come from all over. So when we met with the locals at Littletown Community Center, that's north of the freeway. And so it was interesting to hear the feedback from those neighbors. You know, they wanted certain elements and so forth. And for them, some of them, it's practical to get there, and others, it's not. For walkability, it's going to be that brand new giant neighborhood to the east. And those homes aren't even sold yet, right? So we'll get more input from those neighbors probably as we get into phase two of this development, as well as the whole Southlands and Southeast development as Tucson kind of spreads in that direction, that those will be the more primary day-to-day neighborhood users, whereas, you know, for sport games and tournaments, that will be people from all over using the freeway to get here.
Steve, do you have any questions? Can you hear us?
Are you talking to me?
Yes. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I have two questions. When you went through the presentation, the very light tan areas that are just to the right of the left field area that's marked 2. So there's a 7 and there's an 8. Did I hear him say that those were lawn game areas?
Yeah, so that would handle like a bocce, cornhole, horseshoes, yard dots, if they even allow that anymore.
Okay. And then the other area that is the same color over near where it says 12, did I hear you say that that was like sand volleyball?
Well, 12 is identifying the basketball courts, and then the one below that is the sand volleyball court, correct. Two courts, actually.
That is sand volleyball. Okay, I just want to make sure I heard correctly. Thank you.
Yes.
Darren, do you have any questions?
Yeah, thank you. I actually had two questions. I know that the La Estancia area is just, I think, just barely northeast of that, and they're building apartment complexes and another subdivision up there. Are you guys planning on soliciting some of their feedback, or will this start up before those development plans are finished? And then also, I know that sometimes through that area, because I have to go down through that area for a lot of work activities, but sometimes there's a lot of traffic in that area. So I would think that this is going to bring a lot of more traffic, especially on the weekends for tournaments. So is there any plans for more kind of traffic control stuff over on the Wilmot side?
On Wilmot, I cannot speak to that. I can speak to the intersection, the Craycroft intersection, and the entrance going into the Stadium Blue campus. Part of the reason of the initial work was because, one, it is like in a low-lying area, and it is flooding, so that was a significant component to address that. But they are widening it so that the traffic that kind of backs up along Los Reales Road and the access drive as to come in. The widening of the road entrance to that, and also the widening of the intersection is also, you know, part of, I guess, phase one of this development with the park falling closely behind that. Other parts of that, they are, there will be stop signs, and then they are providing infrastructure for lighting when that becomes applicable. As far as improvements to Wilmot, I don't believe there's anything at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Manon, do you have any questions?
You had the other question, though, about a stop.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Darren. Did you have another question?
Yes, but a lot of thoughts here. That neighborhood is likely going to be served more by the new Robert Price Park, which is really abuts La Estancia. They certainly could use this area, and they would have been included in the community engagement, but they're more likely going to be served by Robert Price Park.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. My apologies for not addressing that one.
Manon?
Thanks, Becky. I think everyone has covered most of the things that I was looking at. Thank you.
Thank you. So I have a few questions. So Los Reales Sustainability Campus, I used to do tours for the landfill with mass recyclers. So they were going to incorporate a household hazardous waste facility there, and a recycling facility, and how is that, all that traffic going to affect that going into the park?
I think it's a fantastic question. So because we've been involved with some of these other projects, the MRF originally was kind of proposed for this area located here. My understanding is with the planning that we've gone through with the Bifusion project that's ongoing, I think drawings are basically completed. We're looking for final approvals from everyone. Between that, this intersection improvements and the linear trail improvements to kind of define the northern side of the Los Reales Sustainability Campus, they are looking at that, probably most likely moving towards this location over on the north.
Eric, would the other map help you show that better if she clicks back on the Los Reales?
Oh, yeah.
That would show it probably better.
Yeah. So my understanding is it may be potentially either going in this location here or even something in this location here. I can tell you that with Bifusion going right in here, adjacent to the hazardous waste facility that just got completed, that we are adding a drive here for basically employee or direct access and not just the general public to go into that. It's going to be a control gate and access and everything in that regard. So,
okay, and so they used to do the methane gas that used to power up the houses for TEP, and it would go to TEP and come back and house. Are you going to use methane gas to power up lighting at the park?
So my understanding on that is they are currently working with a company to provide the methane facilities here. And my understanding, they're treating it to a level where they're going to put it back into the Southwest Gas pipeline. That's way above my knowledge on the full extent, but working with Frank and Carlos and other members from the landfill facilities, that's what's going on now. And I think they've already, like, are in preliminary discussions with that, but that's as far as I could make you aware of that.
Okay. Now the water. Okay. So with the south side and people's fear of TCE, 1,4-dioxane, PFAS, all of that, I know they filter some of that out and it's treatment. Are you watering the park with that water?
Another great question. So so the linear trail that goes basically all along this area here, we right now that water is being pumped and pulled and treated and held into a tank here. We are using that water for the irrigation system of this lake. That's part of this design. The design and water use on this side here would not utilize that water source unless significant changes would be made to provide that offset. We are, because of the contaminants and concerns, we're not proposing any kind of pond or anything on this side because of the natural flow of water is from the southeast to the northwest. So, but my understanding is Tucson Water is in preliminary thought.
We have no audio now.
I think we lost the host. Hopefully they'll dial back in.
Yeah, I could tell by your faces it wasn't just me.
Can you hear us?
Everybody back?
We can hear.
Yeah, we got you back.
We can now.
Okay. The screens just went dark. Sorry.
It's so, like there. In discussions, they've been talking about another well at this location here. Some of our research, so when we were doing this all along, we looked at where is reclaimed water available. It's about 5 miles away. There would be some significant road improvements and linear leanages to get it out that direction. Our understanding is from the reclaim is they're looking to potentially get that clear out to Vail, which at some point this route might be the best route to help provide water for that. But again, that's on to some higher hire people to speak on and kind of talk about. We've talked about can we pull water from this area or not. Right now we know that there's, I think there's a, I want to say a 12-inch, I think there's a 6-inch main that kind of comes in here, and I think there's another 8-inch that runs along here. There was significant improvements that occurred along this Garden Stone Road to basically allow us to feed to that. The issue with that is then we're using potable water to water grass, but we also need to make sure it's going to have adequate pressure for the ball fields and so forth. So all this is the next step, I think, of things, but we are already, you know, planning what that would look like as far as water, you know, retaining the amount of water where we need to water to the size fields that we have and create that infrastructure. The overall site, we're looking to propose to put place the irrigation controller here to service this leg. And this leg, and then ideally we would just tap into that and loop around to create the additional connections to help offset water pressure losses and needs of the park itself.
What about the splash pad water?
Splash would be, that would all come off of potable sources.
And it's treated regularly, right?
Yes, it would be, yes.
Okay, just making sure we don't have contaminants on our children. Okay, so the landfill is seriously understaffed with people. And so before pre-COVID, they had the DOC cleaning up the litter, the flying plastic bags that are everywhere. I don't know what their situation is now that it's back to normal, sort of. Plastic bags fly big time from the landfill. Birds fly everywhere. You anticipating bird droppings everywhere at the park because the birds and landfill go together. I'm sorry, they do. And lots of them, big birds.
I think that's a valid concern. So part of what this, the linear trail serves is 50 foot wide. It's going to have a fence on the backside of it to help create a buffer between the Los Reyes campus and the roadway itself. Second, our connection for whatever we do in the park will have a secondary fence. We can build all of phase one, and there's an existing chain link fence that runs basically right along this section in here. That fence is in place. There's existing power lines that go over it. If you're out there, all this is pretty defined. Everything that we can, that we're going to do possibly within phase one doesn't need to touch any of that. That can all stay in place. We can tie into it, and that's way, in some ways, allows us to help stage this, knowing the rising cost of construction, like that, we can hopefully, you know, price this and group it together so it's beneficial to everyone. Addressing the bird scenario, our thought is that we're really trying to recreate the Sonoran Desert. So having, you know, plant diversity, have species diversity, all those things come into play. So you may find that with the additional vegetation that we may have in this, with evergreen trees and things like that, that currently we don't exist beyond like halabirdies and a few mesquites, that we get some taller trees that would bring in some raptors or other birds that might be more beneficial to the space. To me, I think that our ability to recreate a natural biome is our best benefit to having long-term success.
And we do need parks on the south side. I agree. We do need that. I just want to make sure that we're not congesting freight crop because Saturday mornings, landfill is nonstop busy. And then if you have games, you're going to have tons of people coming to play games and just making sure that there's
a plan
in place for vehicle traffic.
You probably don't have it in there, but they're making significant improvements to that intersection.
Yeah, so the intersection is going to be, can you go back to the large plan? Kind of shows a bit better. So right now it's, I think, it's one lane in and one lane out. There may be a two lane in, but it's going to become two full lane ins, a right turn out, and or right, left out, right, and right out. On the other side, it's doubling up to being two lanes and an automatic through right turn. And I think this day singling out coming from Gardenstone, this becomes immediate right turn, pass through, and immediate left turn. So that's it's being significantly widened by that. Sorry, I wasn't expecting those. Otherwise, you could have brought a plan up for it.
And then, I don't know about you guys, but are you guys short staffed? Because who's going to maintain these parks? I mean, you have to hire a whole new staff, right?
To my understanding, parks will have staff for the park facilities. The landfill has their own operations, and they're separate. They might co-mingle with each other. I mean, I think they do on a day-to-day basis, but that the idea would be that they would not necessarily share operations, but, kind of link each other. We also had the benefit, again, the Tucson Clean and Beautiful having growing facilities where the idea is they can grow a lot of the vegetation that we're looking to grow from a much bigger, diverse plant species. That's one of the main things we pushed in the PAD was saying, hey, look, we want a bigger plant palette than just mesquite, palo verde, and acacia. There's a lot more vegetation out there that we could utilize that isn't being utilized.
Darren, you look like you have a question. No?
Speaking to what you have to say, Becky, about that and staffing, what is the timeline?
Let me take that.
I believe we're looking at, with approvals, that we would get adopted by closer to the end of the year, and then hopefully we'll start moving into construction documents starting next year with the park continuing forward. I think a lot of it is linked to the intersection improvements and the linear trail itself, because again, this is going to become a, somewhat of a depressed area, lowered, so that we can utilize that and expand. Right now, the basin actually, there's a lower section in here. This is actually a large basin. There's a cross connecting pipe here, another basin here, but that basin extends out to here where we've put in vegetation here, but left this all hydroseeding with the understanding that this is hopefully going to move forward fairly soon because there's already funding available for to address the needs of the community.
So this is a master plan.
Yeah, this is a master plan.
And if commission recommends it to go to mayor and council today, then we'll put on a mayor and council agenda for their adoption. The unique thing about this site is it's what's called the South Lands Impact Fee District, which is an impact fee district that's been around since the, say, mid to early 2010s. It's got about $1.9 million in the account, and we have searched for property to acquire in that district, and there is nothing to buy. And we own zero parks in the South Lands Impact Fee District. So this is right now the only project that we can actually spend South Land Impact Fee money on, and which is what we're using to do the master plan. And then if mayor and council approve the master plan, then we would look at how much of this we could build with the impact fees available. So there's no bond dollars in this project. This would strictly be impact fees that have already been collected and paid for. We'll continue to get impact fees because, as they mentioned, there's a very large development going in just east of this site, which is going to generate additional impact fees. But for phase one, we'd be looking to tap into $1.9 million of impact fees currently available. And it's the only place we can spend it in the Southland Impact Fee District, which is really ironic that this project landed right where it landed, at $1.9.
And all of that will only cost $1.9 million?
No, we will.
Hey, I could wish
you. Phase one. Something that represents this.
Yeah.
The two soccer fields, if we were to light those, that would accommodate cricket with no center poles in here. So we've already reached out to Musco Lighting, which does a great job with dark sky ordinances and so forth, the lighting. We understand just the lighting alone is about $1 million.
the fields themselves would be about $1 million.
The other unique thing about this site is you're not really abutting too much residential until you get to the far east side. Correct. I mean, you're against I-10 to the north, a landfill to the south, so lighting is going to have minimal impact as far as residential. Until maybe we get to the far east side, then might be a little bit of impact residential, but pretty minimal.
Should notice, what ward is this?
Ward 5. Sorry, I should have said that.
South side.
It's a little like south central Tucson, right? It's
I know exactly where it is. I just wasn't sure what the line was.
Right on the edge of the two wards.
Okay, that's it. Okay. So it is 5. Are you getting any?
No. It's just my own because,
Well, they're fantastic questions.
I feel a lot. I have to change the name to sustainability compass in my vocabulary because it's still landfill. So any other questions?
Darren.
I had one more, and I think this was included. I just missed it. Are those artificial or real grass fields?
To be determined. I mean, it's just a master plan right now. When we get into actual design documents, we would evaluate synthetic turf versus natural grass.
Okay, thank you.
So this is an action item. So we need a motion from someone. Yay or nay? Steve?
I'm having a little trouble hearing. Did I understand you to say that you need a motion to move forward with the master plan for Los Reales?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Yes.
Roll call.
That was Robin for the second.
That was Robin.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Chair Steve Poe.
Aye.
Thank you. Becky Quintero.
Aye.
Manon Getzi.
Aye.
Robin McArdle.
Aye.
Karen Gregg.
Aye.
Okay, motion passed.
Thank you.
And I did want to thank Becky for her questions. They were quite excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Murrieta Park Project update.
Got 8 copies of them.
No.
Okay.
Bye. So I thought we had discussed who was going to talk about it. Last month we had a resident that came and had talked about the 2 softball fields that are on the southern side of Joaquin Murrieta that currently, so basically the entire project itself could only fund so much in terms of improvements, but we were able to allocate ARPA funding in order to upgrade the irrigation to the field. And so when I think his name was Mr. Trejo was here, he expressed some concerns about the leveling, the flooding within the fields themselves. And so it was asked to be put on today's agenda. So in talking with staff, the idea would be for us to address some of those leveling concerns, but we need to wait for the contractor to release the site. Doesn't make sense to try and do things at the same time. They're still working on the irrigation. So what does that mean? It means that we forecast that we might not have possession of those fields back until sometime next year, which then means that some of the work that does require some growing of turf again may have to wait for another cycle. But it all is really going to depend on when the contractor is able to give us access to the field. The other thing that I think is warranted to note,
We are actively in the process of hiring a sports field and turf supervisor who would definitely be assigned to looking at those fields and doing the work that's needed to get them in better shape. But they are not currently part of the current project just because the money could only go so far. But that's really the update regarding those fields at the moment.
Did somebody contact him and let him know?
I believe we did do a reach out. But he also is really active. He's trying to also do a naming project of all of the Ramadas there.
Hmm.
His idea is to name each Ramada after a different historical barrio.
Oh.
Yeah. So actually that's good thing for me to also follow up with him on his progress on getting that done.
Cool. Thank you.
And I'm next. Wrong. I'll get there. Give me a minute. The presentation?
Okay. Oh, the budget report?
Yeah, I don't know if I opened it up. Oh, yeah. Okay, hold on. Sorry. 1 minute.
Was that the budget?
Yeah, the budget presentation. Yeah,
there.
Yeah. There you go. Cool. Okay, so just a few slides. It was asked if we could discuss, and for the benefit of those looking on the computer screen, let me see if I can make this a little easier for you all to read.
And us in the audience.
I know. Okay. let me see. Do I push it a little further? Let me try. Okay. So at the last meeting, there was a request to do a review of the budget. I've done kind of a high-level overview, and then if you all have some questions of additional information you'd like, more than happy to come back and do a phase two. So this is basically our general fund budget as it currently stands for this fiscal year. So I would call that just $40 million. How that is broken down, it's always surprising when you look at it in this format because 66% is that dark blue piece of the pie, which is all of our personnel costs. So that's everything full-time, part-time, Social Security, workers' comp, all the behind-the-scenes stuff to managing staff. This purple wedge right here is called investment plan and one-time capital improvement projects. What that is generally generated from is we have some specific funded projects that are from, say, a ward or money. Like, for example, Ward 1 did a participatory budgeting program process, where $250,000 from that process was allocated for Cushing Street. That money is currently sitting in this particular wedge right now. We were fortunate to have 3 years of investment plan funding. This is going to be the last year just because of financial situations within the city. Last year, we had been allocated $3 million. This year, we've been allocated $2 million. And we've got a couple things that generally the money is spent on repair and renovation. And we have some 911 repair renovation items right now that we're going to wait for some pricing to figure out how we can stretch that $2 million as far as we can, because this will be the last time probably for at least a couple years that we have that money available to us. In the prior years, we spent a significant amount of that money on pool renovations, filters, boilers, deck resurfacing. All 20 pools got brand new handicap lift chairs, just a myriad of different things. Oh, and also converting our pools from bromine to chlorine. So we did, I think, 8, 10. And so we have a small amount left to do this year. I'm hoping that we can eke that out this year. Then you see Reed Park Zoo. That is really not tied to operating dollars for the zoo. That is funding that was committed through the agreement with the zoo and the city. We call it Environs Fund. I'm not really sure where that comes from. But basically, it's money that is allocated for projects that are going to benefit both the zoo and the park. So a good example is Lake Shore Lane, which runs up the side of Reed Park and the side of the zoo, is in pretty poor shape. So we have a project that is scheduled in the next month or so to resurface the entire road because it is heavily used and it's been, number one, it has a lot of potholes, but number two, it's been dug up quite a lot with the Pathways project and our splash pad project coming with water lines. So that money is basically used. Nancy from the zoo and I will talk and then we'll agree on how we spend that down. The green and the orange are pretty much how our funding of professional services and commodities work. So what does that cover? Brightview, landscaping services, tree services, security services, commodities and supplies, the pool chemicals, every trash bags, Lysol, whatever it is that we need to maintain the parks. That's where these two pie pieces, the green and the orange, cover. So to put that into then context, oops, sorry. And having this zoomed in is a little disorientating. So one of the things I thought was kind of an interesting graphic that our finance manager showed me yesterday was just kind of like, where we were compared to last year to this year. I know last month I remember someone asking me how things are going with hiring and vacancies. So last year we started out in September with 214 staff, and this year we're at 225, so we're definitely carrying less vacancies. And we're reflecting a higher number because we were given permission to do some overhiring, especially in our capital unit. We're a plus one on a project manager there, and that's because we're committed to getting the Prop 407 projects delivered on time. So I just thought that was an interesting little snapshot to share. But how we're funded then by divisions. I thought that could be an interesting thing. Park maintenance, which is the orange, and recreation programming, which is the dark green, are pretty much split very evenly at 34% of our budget. I never really connected it that way. Aquatics is the blue. Again, Reed Park, that I talked about before, is the purple, and the investment plan and the one-time funding is the more neon-y type green. So what sits in those particular divisions when you are talking about budget? So administration, that's the director's office, the capital planning team, public relations, and we have a very small, I should have put them there, IT, we have a business systems analyst, and I think a systems analyst. They sit under an administration. The zoo, like I said, that funding is attributed to joint zoo park projects. Aquatics, that covers both the maintenance, so the folks that are going out and keeping everything operational, as well as the programmatic function. So all the supplies that we need to do, say, learn to swim or the guard buoys. That's not the right word. Rescue tubes. all the staffing for aquatics. Like I said before, the one-time investment plan is one-time allocations to specific board-directed projects, as well as this year, the $2 million for repair and renovation, which is we're forecasted not to get, we were not supposed to get it at all this year, but they were generous and helped us because I told them we had some emergency repairs that we needed to do. And then under recreation, you've got everything, recreation centers, leisure classes, therapeutic. Kidco, sports, special events, performance center, which is really the OPC, which we'll be talking about on our next item. Tennis, we have a limited amount of money for tennis. That is a tennis. We have three centers that are managed by external management agreement, but we do provide a limited amount of support. Ready, Set, Rec, and then the staffing for all of those areas above outside of tennis. And then under parks, your general grounds maintenance, your irrigation, trades, construction, landscape contract or tree contract, ball field maintenance, and I probably could have gone on and on in parks. There's all sorts of interesting and specific things that fall in that section. And then just visiting over to, I had provided this in advance, and I know it's really hard to get an entire department budget to one page, but Robin specifically had mentioned wanting to kind of see what our past years had been, what our current year is. And we have gone over the past 2 years, and there's a multitude of reasons for that. One of the things that I keep talking to the city manager's office about is that our non-perms, we need more money for non-perms, but this year we've been told you need to stick to what the budget is, which could this year is 6.1. Actually, now it's been updated, and I need to remind Lisa to reflect that. It's actually closer to like 6.2 now because there was a 1.5% increase for all staff that was implemented in July. And so how we have approached that is every area, so that we just saw aquatics, recreation, and then we broke down into recreation the different areas that we have non-perm or part-time staff working. We figured out what a budget would be for each of those areas, and then now we're in a learning and tracking process. Sometimes we have unexpected expenses. And the other thing that we have found recently is some of our general services, like, for example, the cost of pool chemicals continues to go up. For a frame of reference, pre-COVID to last year, there was a 65% cost increase on pool chemicals. We just negotiated a new contract, so we're anticipating that's going to be a little bit more. And with every splash pad that we open, that's more pool chemical consumption. So that's a really top level overview of our budget. And like I said, I'm happy to bring more information, but I wanted to kind of give you a foundational exposure to the budget. And then you can tell me if there are certain areas that you would like to learn more about.
Where does vandalism fall into this?
Well, vandalism would fall under where we have repairs and maintenance,
yep,
mostly, and commodities. I say commodities because we do, so say the vandalism is graffiti, we do buy a graffiti remover spray, and then in terms of vandalism that breaks something, it really depends on the extent of the damage. If it is something that our trades and construction crew can fix, that's awesome. If it's something that we have to bring offline, then it goes into the potential risk of asking for additional money. That is a reality that we deal with. Recently, we've had two playgrounds reach the end of life, deemed unsafe. We had to take them out. And in that case, the ward office is, one was Purple Heart, which is Ward 4, and Highland Vista, which is Ward 6. They found money in their own budgets to cover the replacement of the playground. Unfortunately, we've now had two more playgrounds that have come offline. One, there's no money available to replace, and the other one happens to be at El Pueblo, which is already slated to be replaced through 407. So there is a lot of case-by-case situations where we try to figure out where can we identify the funding needed to cover whatever it is.
So when they're burned and melted to a crisp, do you guys have insurance for things like that?
So the city is self-insured. That there is a deductible of $10,000 that the department has to absorb And then we will get some sort of mitigating, what's the right word? They look at the value and they give us the residual value. So based on the age of the unit, the original cost of the unit, and then minus that 10K, then maybe we'll get some. It is very often, yeah, depreciation. It's not enough generally to cover the replacement cost. We've also had situations where some of the damage is literally at 11,000, 12,000. So it's not even worth, since the city is self-insured and that would be a ding on our claim, history, those situations we don't even put in. We try to figure out if we have another means of replacing the item. Yeah.
Thank you.
No problem.
Anybody have any questions? What have you had to do this year so that you're not over budget? You've mentioned staffing. You were 214 in 2024, but you're up to 225. So, but are you cutting non-perms?
We are giving every area a defined amount of money and telling them that they can only work their staff up to whatever that definition or that threshold is. How they choose to then adjust for that, you know, Donnie certainly does, and Dean and Aaron are there to advise. We're encouraging staff to really think through when are the full-time staff working versus when do you need the part-time staff to work. Where it gets more challenging is your pools. You can't open a pool with one person. We have safety guidelines that require X number of people to be present to open a pool deck. So those costs are pretty baked in. And so that's going to be part of the ongoing conversation with mayor and council. Hopefully in September, we're able to actually do the sit down. And then also I've asked Diana to put it on the agenda for the next, for our technical second September meeting to talk with you all what summer looked like this past year. But I can tell you just by looking at the June numbers, part-time for the pools, even with reduced hours, we spent over $500,000. So if you think that July mimicked that, you're spending $1 million just on staffing for summer pools alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And historically, we've been over almost $2 million in non-perm monies. So trying to get that under control. We got a little bit fat and happy. We put ourselves on a diet. And we're back to meeting ratios and, you know, just not using the non-perm as the band-aid to all of our issues.
We also opened more pools in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And that added to it.
Yeah.
You know, the reality is going to be this year. So we're lucky that we pretty much stayed flat on our funding this year, but we were told that there is no ability to go over budget. And if you look, we went over budget the last 2 years. Some of it, for both years, I was technically given permission to go over budget because it was what we had to deliver. And that is something that's not my decision to make. That's the manager's decision to tell me that. But this year I was told you're not going to get that flex. And I believe I explained on one of the past meetings with the change of the state flat tax sales revenue share, the city is getting less money. So, of course, they're saying you're not going to have the buffer available or for us to give you. I'm anticipating that there's probably not going to be much room for us to ask for additional money next year, but we won't know more until about November.
So far, are there any programs being cut or hours? Is there an impact?
I think the only thing that might have happened is Ready, Set, Rec might have less trips. We did negotiate with the ward offices on how to scale back a little bit of the pool hours for the fall, but not significantly. So right now, no. What's going to happen after November, I can't say.
Manon, do you have a question?
Hi, Becky. Yeah, Laura, did I hear you say that they're switching some of the pools from bromine back to chlorine? That you guys did a little bit of that. Did I hear that correctly?
We're going from bromine to chlorine.
Part of it is the bromine is really hard on our equipment, particularly boilers and pumps.
Mm-hmm.
So if they literally, like we switched Archer late, and it literally went through a heat exchanger in 6 months.
Yep.
So, and not only does it affect that, it affects all the piping as well. So by switching to chlorine, the chlorine is cheaper than bromine.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, it's safer on our pipes and all of our equipment.
I think most swimmers will tell you it's safer on their swimsuits as well. I've been here a while, and I remember when they made the switch to bromine, and many people stopped having to swim in city pools because they were having allergic reactions to it, and their swimsuits were degrading in half the time they did before. So I'm glad to hear this. And I did hear you say that the chlorine is actually cheaper than bromine as well.
It is less expensive, yes.
That's great to hear. And I would love a list if anybody remembers. I can send you a reminder of what pools have been switched, because there are so many people who have just given up swimming because of the bromine factor.
Ten of them have been switched, and 10 still need to be switched.
Okay. Thank you so much.
We can have Diana send the ones that have switched already over to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Dave, have any questions? Darren? You have a question? Comment? Darren? Do you have a question?
No.
Okay, thank you. Just checking.
All right, I'm going to put the agenda back up on the screen.
Okay. Well, you're still on with the Outdoor Demeester Center.
I was about to say, I did not attend the briefing on that one.
So at the last meeting, Steve, you had asked for an update regarding the Demeester Outdoor Performance Center, since in the ward updates, we had included that for in design out of that scoping area. So the update on that is our consultant is Swaim Associates. They are on contract already. They are working on some concept plans and associated preliminary budgets for each of those based off of the stakeholder input that occurred last year with special events folks. And then we will be looking to re-engage with those stakeholder groups in October to present those concepts and budgets.
Question? Steve?
No. My only question would be then, after this October date where you go back to the to the stakeholders, approximately when do you look for that to come back to this commission?
Expect.
We wouldn't typically bring it back to this commission for anything. What were you expecting?
What do you mean if? What do you mean if?
Is it a Prop 407 project, so we would just go forward with moving forward on the Prop 407 improvements? What would you expect us to come back?
I would expect for the, when you make the final decisions as to what is going to be included, that you at least clue us in on what that is, since it's such an expensive project.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Thank you.
Manon has a question. Manon?
I you know, live very close to this area, and I would be interested in knowing exactly what you consider stakeholders when it comes to Demeester and how that's going out.
Yeah, so we reached out to anybody who has hosted an event there in like the last 3 years.
Okay. And, you know, given my history with Save the Heart of Reed Park, there was a lot of input that I was receiving at that time around Demeester being kept a free open space. Trees have already been taken out and butted out for a fence that didn't go up. And I remember Director Hamway saying that, you know, we were going to put this all on hold for a larger master plan, which we went through this whole process. But what's going in, you know, you've reached out to the people who are the vendors. What about the citizens that use the area and walk across that area? How are they being reached out to?
That would be the next round of engagement.
And when do you expect that to happen? Sorry if you've already said this.
No, we have not said that. I would anticipate most likely in January, given the holidays around the end of the year, if we're reaching out to the special events folks in October.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Is that it? No? Okay. Do I have another question? Okay. Thank you. Rio Vista Natural Resource Park. Who wants that one?
Right.
Yes, it's our agenda item.
Still on the agenda. Hopefully not for too many more meetings. But this is, I think, everybody around this table, that's not necessarily true. Darren knows the issue. This was a very collaborative process with stakeholders, with Rio Vista Natural Resource Park for many years to reach a master plan that this commission felt that they could support based on what stakeholders were, the support that they gave it. We're just running into some issues now with the implementation. So that's what we're still taking a look at as trails, as the master plan is being implemented. So we were invited to Rio Vista Park. Manon and I went on August 21st. It was wonderful with Desiree, Juliana, equestrians that are having some issues. Darren, I'll bring you up to date. There was an equestrian that fell off her horse because of some trail issues. And so we were invited to go take a look at the trail and the implementation of the master plan. Manon and I went on August 21st and had an incredible walkthrough. And Steve, I believe you went the following week, which is awesome. Thank you for doing that. I will say that it's one thing to see these things on paper and then another thing to see them in person. It was very eye-opening. And something I could never, I know zero about trails. I know a lot more now. So I can see, I literally was able to see and experience things that have been brought up that I really didn't understand. I understand that there's process issues. I get process. But as far as safety issues, it was very enlightening. I know last time we talked a long time about this. Hope to keep it a little shorter. Certainly not my call. But Manon and Steve and Becky, I know you want to hear this information. Maybe you want to share some light on your thoughts from the walkthrough.
Sure, Robin, I can start if you'd like. Does that help? When I'm a former equestrian, I've been taking care of horses and mules and donkeys since I was 6 years old, and have been trail riding and showing for a very long time. I've spent all my summers and Christmases on a 500-acre cattle ranch with every animal you can imagine. And I have a lot of dogs. I've also lived on the edge of this park in the past. What I see right now is around safety issues is there's a couple of major things. There are too many trails closed down. That's just the fact. There's too much pressure on the trails that we have. I've taken some videos and some photos, and what we're basically dealing with is overgrowth over these rocks that have been placed all over the place. And the rocks on the edges of trails that are sometimes not 8 feet, sometimes not 6, especially coming around corners, this is a real hazard. In some places, the grass has grown over the rocks so you can't even see them on narrow trails. So if somebody is going to be trying to get around a group of birders, someone trail running, we have some real athletes out there who run those trails and bicycle those trails. If they just try to step into what looks like very soft grass, they're going to fall over sharp, pointy rocks. And this also could happen to older people. I mean, I've been through some considerable health issues in my life, and one of the things that I have always felt the best about Rio Vista is that it's a place that it was felt like nature, that had wildlife, but that I was not in danger of being harmed. And I felt like I do not feel that way anymore. I do not feel that I could go to Rio Vista and cut around some of these corners where you cannot see where you were going and not know what's coming around the other side with no way to pull off or get away. And in some cases where they built up the trails and added rocks, people won't, if they had to move suddenly, they wouldn't just roll over the rocks. They'd roll downhill, might break a hip. There are areas where there are rocks where they are not needed. They basically keep people who would have baby strollers or any kinds of things with wheels or any issues with ankles and hips, they wouldn't be able to get out of the way of a horse or a cyclist or a dog they were afraid of because it's so narrow. And this isn't in regards to paths that are going directly back to the barn. There's at least one path on the very east side that's been completely covered up. If that path had been remained open, and I know people have requested that, we would have not had the horse accident. The horse accident became very clear, even to me, and I know this park well, that this horse had to reroute and this rider had to reroute multiple times. And if she had just been had that other path to go, she would have not encountered the birder. She would not have encountered the man that ran towards her horse. None of this would have happened. And I am also concerned that trails have been removed since commissioners were told that there were going to be no more changes to the master plan. And this was with, a very small constituency. It was just maybe one stakeholder or homeowner. So things were changed. And, these are my major issues with it. I think the rocks, somebody thought that would be a great idea, but it's clearly, if you go out there right now and look at it, very large rocks are covered with grass and you cannot see them. And there are just too many users and too many pressures on this trail. I personally, again, wouldn't feel safe using aspects of those trails that I used to love. Thank you.
Thank you. Are we going to go on a tour?
I think Steve has anything too.
Steve, did you have anything to say from your side, Steve?
Yes, I did. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I too visited right about the end of August, and there were two or three items that particularly caught my attention. Manon mentioned the areas where the rocks cannot be seen because of the overgrowth of grasses. I believe she also briefly mentioned that the way the rocks are lined up on the edges of many of these paths, it would prevent anyone with a bicycle or a stroller or whatever from moving off the path. And therefore, if you have a combination of that and not being able to see the rocks, even stepping off the path to get out of the way of the equestrians would be darn near impossible. My suggestion to alleviate part of that, I can't figure out what to do about the grass growing up around the rocks, but I do believe that the line of rocks needs to have a yard or 2 yard breaks in them so that if somebody needs to move off, they don't have to move too very far down or back the path to get their stroller or their bicycle or their body off the path so that we don't run into problems with the equestrians. I'm not an equestrian myself. I do not know about the protocols, et cetera, but not only the people who were there the day I took the tour, but I did reach out to some of my friends who do not necessarily use that park, but use other places where there is equestrian use, bicycle use, hiker use, stroller use. And they said that they also concurred with me that the continuous line of rocks is a hazard. Again, they didn't have any suggestions as to what to do about the overgrowth by the grasses, but I think that would be a major improvement by making sure that these lines of rocks have a break so that you can get off the path. The other thing that I am concerned about is the closing of what I believe is the easternmost equestrian path to the river from the stables that are to the south. And I'm not sure that I understand, other than the complaints of a couple of neighbors who must have known they were buying property by a park, whether their concerns about people riding fairly close to their fences or their walls or whatever, whether that is more important than the safety of the people who are using the facility itself. Those are my two major concerns, with one exception. I just thought of a third one, and it doesn't really have anything to do with the trails, but Rio Vista is not a dog park. And when I was there, I started to walk across the grassy area that is over close to the parking lot. And I believe, if I counted correctly, there were 10 dogs off leash in this area. And my understanding is that early in the morning and late in the evening, we definitely have problems with people who do not know how to bring their dogs to this area on a leash and keep them on a leash. And so we need to do something. I was approached by a Doberman. Luckily, it was not a mean Doberman, but it came over to sniff me as I was just walking through the area. And I wasn't intimidated, but I can imagine that some of the people with children and some of the older adults who may not be quite as steady on their feet would be intimidated by that kind of activity. And I was shocked to see how many dogs were there running around loose.
Thank you. I took some pictures just with my cell phone, because if you don't, and I don't know if you want to pass, I'm just in red real quick. You can pass this around, Becky. Like, where all this right here, and you know what it is, Greg. Like, there's this all rock, and this is what Steve's talking about. With all these paths, I remember going with on a nighttime wonderful environmental excursion out in the park a couple years ago, and it was dark, and it was lovely
to walk through. So this was all, I hadn't experienced this. So that's the what the overgrowth. And then, of course, you're all familiar probably with this. This is all new to me. These are paths that were closed off. And then I think the third thing that was really evident from the I don't know if anybody wants to see any of these, but these were just all paths, and a horse would come over here if there were people on the path. But now there's these, and what you're talking about with strollers, like rock built up all over the, I don't know, I'm not a trail maker, but it makes no sense. I don't get it. Somebody tell me, I'm willing to get it. I just don't get it. What all the rock is all about. But so between the trail, so the point comes down again, and I don't, like I said, I hope it's not on the agenda for meetings to come. But I'd say, number one, there was some discussion about signs. So I'm sure we can have an update on signs that were going to be posted.
Yeah, and I included that in the memo that I provided to you all. The first phase of signs was supposed to start last week. I don't know if that got completed. And then the second set of signs, the trail signs, are to come. I mean, as with any project, things are done in phases. So I don't know the timeline for the second set of signs.
Frames are up. Not all of the frames have been installed yet. We're waiting for all of them to go up before we add the park rule signs on there, and then we're finalizing the trail map signs, and we will send that out for neighborhood association and friends group to look at.
Just let me hear that part again. So I think this is what it all comes down to, and I hope I can wrap this up, that, okay, so even the signage, everything that we talk about, the stakeholders know best. I mean, that's just the 101 community mobilization, master planning 101. We know that. They know best, right? So what you just said, that will go out to who are considered stakeholders.
Just specifically
said the Neighborhood Association.
Right. Okay. Those are
yes.
The friends and the, okay. See, and I can tell you're getting aggravated.
Are you expecting a different?
No, I really just want to understand. I honestly want to understand, because I'm getting so many questions about this. And when I go out and they're taking us on these, it just makes sense when they're saying, here, there's a sign here, and where signs should go. I don't know that. But I can tell you that people that are stakeholders and deeply vested in this do know where the signs go. So what I'm hearing you saying is that you're going to get input on that.
Is that not on the location of the signs?
Okay. See, that's what I want to know, because I think that's where part of the problem is we're sitting here, and that's what I thought I heard. We'll get input on where they're located.
He was saying the design, the images that are part of the signage is what she was saying she's going to share out. But the frames have already been installed.
Okay, so before the signs go up, those will be sent out so that we can all see what is going up and see whether we believe it's adequate for the situation.
Sure, we can certainly add you all into the distribution of what those signs are looking like.
To my knowledge, we haven't seen anything.
No, you wouldn't. And that's what Jasmine was explaining. We're still working on the imagery, the creative side of it, but we knew what the technical specs would be in terms of the, So from the technical aspect of what the signs were going to be size-wise, what they needed in order to be installed, the frames have been installed. The signs, in terms of what's appearing on them, is what they are working on right now.
Does that make sense?
And what I'm hearing from you, Steve, is you would like us to share, in addition to the neighborhood association and the friends group to share that also out with the commission members, correct?
Since we're getting inquiries about it, I think that would only make sense.
Sure.
So for clarity, the park rule sign is produced already. That did go out multiple times for review. The trail map sign is the one that we're right. still making progress on, and that one would be has not yet gone out.
And that's because our park rule signs are our park rule signs. That's the ones you see at that's the one that you see that has the, you know, to keep your dogs on a leash. I can't remember all of the rules.
So that didn't go out to Neighborhood Association and Friends. Okay. Oh, it did. Okay. Those people here in the neighborhood, you all have those signs?
I'd like to ask a question.
I don't know how that
would the commission be okay? Would the commissioners be okay just with asking a question?
Commissioners would be okay with it.
It's your meeting.
Oh, good. Yeah.
So one question is, what about the yield signs? Because I think that's the primary safety concern right now. I mean, the rule signs we know are important, and we know that the map and informational signs are important. But I think one of the most pressing concerns right now is about the
yield sign. We experienced that when we were on the trail. Yeah.
So we are incorporating the same yield pattern that the county uses for the loop, and we've incorporated that onto the trail map, so it'll be included at every entry point where we've got the sign frames.
And excuse me, are there any plans to put individual signs on the trail system within the trail system, or only at the entry?
Not at the moment, no.
Yeah. Okay. Do you hear this, Steve?
Mostly.
Okay, Jennifer's questions about signs and will there be signs within the park? See, that's all new to me. I thought because we were experiencing some blind spots and we're experiencing just some really odd things about with people passing each other. And then it was pointed out to me, this is where the signs come in. They're really helpful. But now I'm hearing none of those signs will be in the park.
Well, it depends on where we're not looking at a trail map right now for Jasmine to be able to share with you the specific locations. And we can include that when we send out what the imagery looks like.
I have a quick question.
I'm going to say Manon's hand has been up.
Oh, good.
Rio Vista Park has never required rocks to mark trails before. And I don't understand how the process of rocks lining all of these trails and trails that are on built up where people can fall or not get around, how this decision was made. I'm sure those rocks were expensive. They're quite bright white. I guess you could see them in the evening more. But I've walked that park in the evening many, many times and not required rocks to guide me. And I am wondering, and I guess it's my recommendation that they be removed. I think that they are a hazard everywhere they are. It's going to be impossible for people to get out of the way. And one of the things that I remember asking for when I approved this plan is that if they were going to reduce trails, that they have enough adequate turnouts for people to get away. These rocks take all of that, all of those options away. The other issue that I think that somebody who's not really familiar with this park might not understand is that when you rewild an area, you're going to have more wilderness on the very few trails you have left, including javelinas, coyotes, bobcats, snakes, rattlesnakes across a path. And if there's no way to turn around, there are some very tight turns on the south end of the park where you're coming around and you can't see what's coming at you at all. And there's no, and the trail's very thin and there's overgrowth happening. When we have a lot of rain, we get even more overgrowth. So there was less than 6 feet before somebody would fall off an edge and go down. my questions are, can we get rid of the rocks? I think that would make a lot of people happy. I think it would be much safer, and it would lower my risk management hackles considerably. Can we make sure that overgrowth across trails that could blind even further is regularly taken care of, and who is going to take care of that? And if we can get at least one more trail open, I'd like two to be reopened, but closer to the barn, because that way it gives the equestrians or anybody else, somebody with a dog who's still learning manners on a leash, you know, a different pressure point to get away from areas where people are going to stop and look at birds, like in the area that it happened with Desiree's accident. Though that, those are my questions. Thank you.
And I'm not going to be able to give you answers on that today. So that's something that we can follow up on.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Manon. I like rocks.
I love rocks.
Give it to my park.
We hear rocks in Oregon.
We've been hauling rocks in to cover the where people are stealing copper, so they put rocks on top of the things. So.
And it works.
And it works, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need more rocks.
I know a park where you can get them.
Can I go get them? They're white, right?
Real pretty.
Do they glow in the dark?
They're pretty nice rocks. Rocks go.
So.
I do have one more question, if you would, please.
Yes, Steve.
May I ask one more question?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not exactly sure of the location. I took a picture of it with my phone, but there is a over toward the east side of this area, not clear up to the border with Cactus Road, but over toward the east side, there is a very expansive area where several trails meet, and off to the, I'm going to say, the northeast corner of this expansive area, there is a bunch of, in the middle of the path, there is a bunch of riprap, and I don't know how else to describe it, but just a whole bunch of rocks that have been placed there. I'm hoping that there is a legitimate drainage issue or something for putting these there, but out in the middle of this big open area where all of these paths come together, I found it rather unusual that all of these rocks would be put in this area and there being no warning or anything else about them for the people to go around them rather than try to go over them. Does anybody else know what I'm talking about?
No, we don't recall, but.
Yeah, Steve, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that's the main thoroughfare where a lot of things meet. And yeah, it seems to be out of place, and it seems to be just more things that would cause a hazard.
Well, that was my thought. And like I said, if it has something to do with a drainage issue, then maybe it needs to be looked at and there needs to be a better method to deal with that, or some kind of warning for the people who are walking through that area or riding a bicycle or strolling through that area to make sure that they don't end up walking on that riprap and tripping, basically.
Steve, do you have that picture on your phone you can send to staff?
I do. I will try to send it to Diane.
Perfect.
Thank you. And then, Robin, if I can have copies or your copies just for record.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. A lot more. Okay.
I think, and then just concluding, since it's our agenda item, that, you know, it was just a phenomenal process of
collaboration at the beginning, and I think we'll keep it on the agenda for a while and hope to get back to some sort of maybe it was a steering committee under Tom Fisher. I know he's no longer here. But we hope to get back to some sort of mechanism so that throughout the entire process, stakeholders can be more involved.
Thank you.
You.
We were going to try to go on a tour, correct, of the place?
Yeah, and I remember Becky said you wanted to wait till
everybody's back.
And everyone was back. Yeah. So, do you know when you're coming back?
Which time? no, I do not. It won't be more than a day or so until sometime in October.
Okay.
But I have been there within the last week and a half.
Okay. It's October. And it's cool. Sounds like a plan.
Great. I just emailed that picture to Diana.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
And then you'll share it with everybody.
And Diana, I have several photos that I could also send you as well. But
thanks, Manon.
Thank you.
So at this time, moving on, reports and announcements from Parks and Recreation Commissioners. Manon, do you have anything fun to share?
I wish I did, but it's been a bit of a rough month for me.
Sorry.
Hoping for next month.
Okay. Steve?
In the reports, I did appreciate I'm trying to remember what part of the reports that is. Let me see if I can find so I give it the right name. In the capital planning report, somebody decided to highlight the changes in the capital planning report to make those stand out. And I did appreciate that, since quite often I feel like I'm reading the same thing month after month after month. So thank you, whoever thought of that, and please keep it up.
That was Councilwoman Lee's idea, and their office liked it so much, I did it for everyone else.
Thank you.
Thank you. Darren, I know you're new, so welcome.
Thank you.
Anything to anybody?
I'm still kind of learning everything. It's a lot of great information, and I appreciate everything that Diane's been sending me to get me up to speed too. So thanks for it all. And also, I'm going to have to go check out that park, because to be honest with you, when I received the initial emails, I think that I probably responded like everybody else, and I was kind of like, what's the big deal? But it sounds like, having to take a look at it in person from another perspective is pretty important. So I'll have to get out there and take a look at that area myself.
Thank you. Robin?
I'm going to pass.
Okay. Well, also, I want to thank staff for those wonderful commercials about clean up after your pet and keep an eye.
You just stole one of my announcements.
Okay. I was so excited. It's like, yes. I was happy to see them, and I'm going to post those postcards all over my park. Because those dogs are running rapid. They're not on leash, and they let them poop wherever, and then they put them back in their car and drive off and leave their poop, and it's like, arr. So, yeah, so I got lots of postcards, and I'm sticking on their windows. And if there's a body in the park, tell TPD to, take care of me. But, yeah, I was excited to see them, so thank you. That's tough.
Who wants to go first? Aaron, you want to go first?
Sure.
Our recreation programs ended in July, so for the month of August, a lot of our recreation centers closed down. Actually, all of them did. The smaller centers did close down the first week of August, right before school started, so they can get their centers cleaned up and ready for fall programs. And then the bigger centers with whip floors, like gymnasiums, dance floors, aerobics rooms, racquetball, those were all staggered throughout the month, and they're all officially open, except for El Pueblo right now, just because their HVAC system went down earlier this week. So we're hoping to get some temp cooling towers installed for the time being. We also had some storm damage over the month of August, so we had some roofing issues at Armory, El Rio, and Ori. The roofing project at Armory has started, and hopefully will be complete within the next several weeks. And then our cooling stations wrapped up at the end of August, so we no longer have additional operation hours at Donna Liggins, Freedom, or Freedom, Donna Liggins, and
El Rio.
El Rio, thank you. So those centers are back to their normal operation hours. And then lastly, we sent about 80-plus employees to conference last week. That's from different divisions, Capital, Recreation Parks, and Aquatics. And I think it turned out well. It was Monday through Wednesday last week. And so we're ready for fall programming right now. Thank you.
Yep. We'll go this way.
Sure.
So we, with Parks Maintenance, we got the report there. We did some special projects. The one I do want to talk about the most would be the riparian area at Fort Lowell that our construction maintenance crew got that going. That is potable water, so it was important that we fix the leak prior to turning that back on. So now it recycles itself. We've minimized the leak. We're actually tracking it. We're doing the bucket test every 2 weeks to see how it's holding up. Pretty excited about that. Our contractors have started the tree work over the last 2 weeks and will continue through the fall. The playground, Lara's already mentioned the playground at Purple Heart and Highland Vista had to be closed and removed, and they're working on that. And then all of our staff has spent the whole month of August, actually the end of July and the middle of August, adding wood chips to all the new to all the TUSD school sites, playground school sites, that we share the property with the school district. And we're now in the process. We just received the order this week, and we'll be doing all of our playgrounds and refreshing the wood chips and refreshing them and replacing in some cases. So everybody's kind of busy and looking forward to some cooler weather. Mm-hmm.
You did?
All right. So at the end of August, we closed 8 of the seasonal pools that were summer only. We kept 3 additional pools open through the month of August on weekends, including Menlo, Freedom, and Mansfield. We currently have 4 extended season pools open. Fort Lowell was able to reopen once we opened the splash pad at the beginning of the month. Or the beginning of August. And we also kept Udall, Quincy Douglas, and Amphi open for high school practices at Amphi. And that will continue to November 10th. We also, on top of opening the splash pad at Fort Lowell, we opened the one at Freedom. And we're still in the process of trying to get the one at Jesse Owens wrapped up. And then at the end of this month, a bunch of the staff is going to go to a Stargard IDC, which is an instructor development program that we're hosting here in town. And then we're also bringing in a group called AquaCon at the end of the month to train about 32 people to teach water aerobic classes, aqua zumba, you name it. You can do it in the water. Going to teach them how to do it, and it's nice that it's here in town so we can expand some programming not only at the ARC but around the city as well. And then for the first time since I've been here that I know of, we've expanded our swimming lesson program into the fall. We're going to start swimming lessons at the ARC starting next Monday and Tuesday for an 8-week session, or I'm sorry, for a 4-week session, and adding 8 additional lessons there as well. Ditto. Oh, just kidding. So, wrapped up my first summer experience here in the lovely Southwest. I was thoroughly amazed that we had 500 plus people decide to come out and do track and field in the summertime. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around it, but it was really, I'm going to use the word cool metaphorically. It was really cool to see because people actually came out and did it. It was awesome. I much respect to all of them who, chose to do that in the heat. Kudos to them. We had over 1,000 participants in our summer KidCo. It was a slightly hectic 2 months, but staff did an amazing job of corralling the kiddos and keeping them occupied and safe. And then we immediately jump right into KidCo, actual school year KidCo. So that's moving along nicely. And we are looking forward to a nice set of fall leisure classes. And then the special events unit will kick it into high gear now as we get to the nicer weather where everyone wants to be outside and do stuff. So this will complete my cycle of one solid year of seeing what happens here in Tucson. And I like it a lot.
Except for the snakes.
I do not like the snake part, but I can avoid them mostly.
Jess, we staff are currently working on 2 special events, Boo Bash that'll happen in October, and our family festival that'll happen in November. So stay tuned.
And the arts and crafts?
The vendor requests have already gone out. I think we're full, actually.
We're on a wait list already.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yes.
It fills really quickly. We've gone digital. It used to be where we, from the post office, and it was postmarked, but we've gone digital, so we fill even faster now.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's good times. And Aaron was being, he was trying not to brag, but the state conference, which is all of the Parks and Rec agencies from around the state, come together, for a week long of, educational sessions and socializing and exhibit hall. And Aaron was the guy in charge of it all for this conference. And so not just that he ran the conference, but also was the recipient of the President's Award, which is a pretty prestigious thing. So he made us proud. We were proud parents.
You don't carry a trophy with you?
No, you should.
Right? Next year we'll make a medal.
I like that, the clock.
Cool team effort. We got everybody in this room, I think, had a part of it. So, they were there. So Greg, Donnie, and Dean were on the committee, and then a lot of our staff were involved volunteering or on the committee. So it was definitely a group effort there. So it was a good turnout.
Yeah. Led by a good leader.
It was actually the most highly attended, yeah.
Oh.
Usually it goes smaller in Tucson, but it went bigger. Bigger than Glendale.
Of course not.
Not at all. I was going to talk about conference, but that's already done. Kathy talked about the leash campaign. That's already done. In all seriousness, we are focusing the entire month of September on our Leash Up Cleanup campaign, where we're really trying to promote responsible dog ownership because September is Responsible Dog Ownership Month. Sierra put into the chat for those that are online, kind of a link to all of our materials. We were able to secure an article or an editorial in the Daily Star earlier this week, as well as KOLD came out and did a highlight on it. So we're hoping to just keep building on that traction and really encouraging that, education and engagement. And there are some pretty neat marketing materials that Sierra and Angela came up with. Some of them are really in your face about why you should be doing what you're doing. So we're hoping that that gets not only a lot of attention, but hoping to get an award for it at conference next year, because we saw it won media award and we're like, we're doing way better than that. So,
yeah, at a competition.
So we're not competitive at all. And then the city manager did appoint a new assistant city manager. Her name is Christina Swallow. I'm probably going to invite her to come to one of our meetings so she can meet you all and kind of just get to know the department a little better. She has been with the city for a little over a year and was the department director of planning and development services, formerly the director of the Nevada Department of Transportation. So wealth of background with her, and so excited that he got to build out his team.
Pardon?
LWCF. Oh, and thank you. Yeah, you gave me something to talk about. Thanks. And then we recently were so really a tribute to Greg and Tenacity. We applied twice to ORLP, Outdoor Recreation Legacy Program through the feds. And we're able to get $2.9 million for Jacobs Park. So that's really important because it's matching dollars to Prop 407. And it also allows more of the master plan that was developed to be built. Without that, we would have been, you know, pretty much kept to whatever 407 had called out. So we're really excited about that opportunity. We also, we already talked about that prior one. So that's really cool. And then actually, the Land Water Conservation Fund grant will be one that we consider for the park that we went through over today, Los Reales, because we talked about how 1.9 only goes so far. And we think that will be a really great project to bring to, Arizona State Parks, who tends to kind of be the conduit of vetting and saying, hey, yeah, this is worthwhile or not. So that'll be something else that we work on in the upcoming year. But there's a lot of exciting things coming up. Jacobs, you know, now that we know how much money we're working with, being able to put Jacobs out for a construction bid. So early next year, we're anticipating that to start. Santa Rita Park also will be going under construction very soon. Somewhere November, December time period, we're hoping. So a lot of really cool stuff. There's always something going on.
And we put that on the agenda to discuss whether people are going to go when you close that down.
Yeah. Actually, what I think would be cool is to invite, Amaris to come out. She is a multi-agency homeless coordinator, I'll just say that. But she's really the person that is the glue in terms of how Pima County and Tucson are working together on homeless solutions. And actually, if I invite her to come out to the next meeting, we can also share with you the new park dashboard for homeless reporting and tracking and what our response mechanisms are going to be. But she is also very much tied into when we're in the 90-day window of construction starting at Santa Rita, her and Brandy Champion, who is in charge of Housing First, we will all be working together to really start going out and providing supportive resources and then encouraging folks to take advantage of those in enough time. So we'll invite Amaris to come to the next meeting. Okay. Fit not only in an update, but future agenda item.
Moving right along. We have had a long meeting.
Yeah.
Are you all done? Yeah. Are you ready to go home?
I could open another meeting in 10 minutes, so I'm ready. I'm actually going to run.
So does anybody else have any future agenda items to go? Steve?
I have two things. Number one, I want to thank Becky for running the meeting there in the room, because it's very difficult to do that from afar. But the thing that I would like to have on the agenda, and it doesn't need to be in the latter part of this month, but next month, I would like to have something on the agenda that could talk about what all we are doing to try to make sure that dogs are on leash. I know you have this new program, but dogs are on leash, especially since my experience at Rio Vista a week or two ago.
Okay. Manon, do you have anything?
I don't. Thank you, Becky.
Okay. And I'd like to keep Rio Vista on so we can get the sign update. And
okay. And Darren? Is he gone?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I didn't see you. So I will entertain a motion to adjourn. Anyone?
So moved.
Thank you. Do you have a second?
Quick question. Sorry. I know everyone wants to go. Are we going to be doing our next meeting this month?
Yeah.
On the 25th?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
I need a second.
I give you a second.
Thank you. Okay. All those in favor to adjourn, say aye.
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 Hi.
Hi.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you, Darren, for coming.
Take care.
Thanks. Good night.
Good night.
Well,
I can't figure out.